From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. As the full weight of the foreign policy establishment and the media in the West come down on Donald Trump over fear that he will attempt a rapprochement with Russia, one of the fires that was lit between the U.S. and Russia during the Obama administration is still smoldering in Ukraine. We spoke with Professor Miquel Puertas, who's a native of Spain and teaches in the eastern city of Donetsk. We spoke with him via Skype last Thursday. Miquel, thank you very much for joining us. And was hoping you could give us an idea of what's happening in Donetsk and what people there are thinking, looking at what's happening here in the U.S.
Donetsk was heavily shelled, no? 2 weeks ago. And here in the center, in the center of Donetsk. Donetsk is a city with around near 1 million people, and later they have the metropolitan area, no? So, I mean, cities around. I speak about two million and a half, no? I mean, the cities are together, you know. So it's like a metropolitan area, and the center is like a it was not really shelled, no, never. But last week, 2 weeks ago, was heavily shelled with ballistic missiles. It's an old-fashioned Tosca U, but well, they are ballistic missiles. The Ukrainian army did that. Right now, in this week, it's quite. We came back, no, to the old situation, no, where there are some shellings, but not in the center of Donetsk, but in the outskirts, or also in some small towns or towns, no, that are. Part of the Donetsk People's Republic, and also in Lugansk. No? For your audience, I want to tell you that this area was is around Donetsk and Lugansk, and all the area controlled by the anti-Maidan forces. No? I call them anti-Maidan because this conflict actually started with that was labeled revolution by the West. No? Against President Yanukovych, but actually it was not a revolution. What kind of revolution? Actually, it was a coup. A violent coup against President Yanukovych. That was the elected president of Ukraine. Let's say that the people here took the weapons and somehow they managed to. They were fighting even very fight against the new leader, the new strongman, the strongman of Kiev, that is Petro Poroshenko. Yanukovych was elected. I want to remind your audience, he was not a dictator. He was elected in a fair elections, and also Ukraine does not belong to Russia. I mean, this is also, I want to remind your audience, no? Because I know Americans sometimes they don't know what they're speaking about. Ukraine was independent since the Soviet Union disappeared. I mean, the collapse of Soviet Union, this country was already an independent country. I mean, so the thing is that it's an independent country, but with influence from Russia and also from the West. No, the Obama administration created here a conflict. I mean, simply they backed a violent coup against President Yanukovych. I want to tell you that in comparison, see, you compare Yanukovych with other presidents. Well, for instance, like Yushchenko or Timoshenko, all the leaders they were before. Well, he was also an oligarch. But let's say that he was not a kind of dictator, bloody dictator or criminal or something like this. Simply, it's an oligarch. This country is always ruled, has been always ruled by oligarchs. The Donetsk, I will tell you that Donetsk somehow, in that time before the war, was a very developed city. I mean, very wealthy, because this is an industrial city. It's so clear. You go to the middle of the street, you see. The city is pretty nice. I mean, very renovated, everything. No, here it was also the most modern airport in Eastern Europe. I mean, it's something amazing. Here now totally destroyed because the war. And also, And also salaries here, and also the living standard were pretty good. I am teacher here, I mean professor or lecturer here in the Faculty of Economics and Management here in Donetsk National Technical University. I am here already 6-7 months. And then my students, and also speaking with teachers, and also my students, they told me that before the war, before the Maidan. Well, the city was a very calm city. I mean, really very easy to a lot of tourism also, and also a lot of business, because the city is focused on business. This area, the Donbass, is especially Donetsk, is the capital of the steel. I mean, they're producing a lot of machinery, a lot of steel, a lot of even technology, you know. And then it was actually the wealthier area of Ukraine, and with here a lot of Russians were coming even to work, because Donetsk had a better living standard than the many Russian cities right now. I mean, many Russians from Russia were coming here to work, because they were easy to find here before the war job. This is the situation of the Donbass, and also especially Donetsk and all this area. No, it's true that in other areas of Ukraine, Ukraine is a very big country in comparison with other European countries. It's quite big. In the western area of Ukraine, the situation was not so good economically, you know, financially, you know what I mean. But the thing is that the coup was a proxy war. It's a decision taken by the neocons, with Obama. And then to provoke this conflict, that is also very good for them, because they're selling, actually the neocons are representing, in my opinion, this is my point of view, the military-industrial financial complex. I mean, and they are interested in selling weapons, and also not only that, rising the budget dedicated to military and to defense. They did already, because now there is a commitment by many European countries to spend more money in buying weapons. No? I mean, the military-industrial complex is interested in maintaining this situation of not open war, but of tension, no? Of tension between Russia and also United States. Because for them it's a good business. I mean, that's it. I mean, it's not the first time that happened in the history, because it is the first World War and the Second World War is the same. I mean, behind any war, there is always somebody that is earning huge quantity of money on that. No? And then the right now, here Donetsk, well, Donetsk have endured very terrible moments. This city was bombed in 2014. The university I am working, Donetsk National Technical University, was bombed as well. Was bombed, and also with teachers, professors, and also students inside. Thousands of people have been killed here. More than 1 million people living in the Donbass, in this area, they fled. And they fled, it's very interesting. They didn't go to the Europe or to the United States. They went to Russia, because they feel better there, better also because of cultural issues, I mean, because the language, basically. And also because Russia is somehow open, no, to these people. No? This is a conflict that was created by the neocons, looking for that, with this agenda of bringing war to Europe, and also rising the budget that the Europeans are spending in weapons. Together with also this very interesting phenomena of massive migration to Europe, towards Europe. The Maidan coup was against Ukraine, and it was a proxy war with the objective of bringing war here in Europe. Indonesia right now, this week, the things are look better. They are just simply bombing in some cities, small towns, not too much. Still are killing people, that's it. And also the people here, the army has been mobilized. All the men are really to the come for fighting. The Poroshenko is bringing more military hard war, tanks, artillery, close to Donetsk. This city has been bombshelled for many years already, 3 years already of war here. But it's very dramatic, especially in the small villages that are in the old skills or in some districts of Donetsk. That really is a very dramatic because people they cannot live because there because they are living there and they are bombing. No? I mean, but in the center of the city, well, it looks like right now is quite fine. No? The people have some kind of hope. They think that the new administration, Trump administration, will be better. No? Will be. Well, they have a chance, you know, to look for a solution of, to this conflict. And then we hope, you know, we hope that things become better. You know? Also, I see or I understand personally. I think that also Trump has a lot of problems. Like some, well, in the Republican Party, there are people that are also neocons and also they are looking for war here. They are, but also Trump. I don't know really. really, is for me is well. There is a hope, but still, he's the president of the United States, and then still, I don't know really how to say one president of the United States, good president. But I mean, maybe there are some, but still, I don't know any. No, que, no. Especially in foreign affairs, no. Foreign affairs. I don't know. I yesterday say, no, I remember, no, that it looks like a Trump where. Speaking about Crimea, he said that he expects that Putin give back Crimea, no, to Ukraine. Well, this is a kind of really a fantasy, no? Because how I mean, it's clear that that Russia is not going to do that. I mean, this is so clear. No?
Right.
This is a kind of well, I mean, okay, it's like it's something like you know, give me back Crimea. You go, yes, guys, sorry, but Pat Yanukovych in the power again. No? I mean, this is a fantasy. You are speaking about a nonsense, you know. Right. I mean, only I mean, the Russia will never give back Crimea to the Ukrainians. That's it. No, there is also other issue. Actually, no, I want to tell you. I mean, for the people. The people in Crimea, they are not occupied by anybody. The people think that they are occupied. Sorry, occupied by whom? They wanted to be free of the Maidan regime because there are people that say that the real occupation is the occupation that is in Kiev. It was occupied, but by proxies, by elements that were not representative of the Ukrainian society. The people that are in the power, they didn't represent. They don't represent the whole Ukrainian society. Ukraine is a plurinational state, yeah, with different sensibilities, and also different languages are here spoken. And then it's a, in the A. EDN or ADN of this country is plurinational. The people that are right now in Kiev, they were put there by a coup, a violent coup, and they don't represent the Ukrainian society, or at least one part of the Ukraine. For instance, the people from Crimea. The people from Crimea, I mean, they didn't want to be ruled by this kind of people, by this kind of people. And then it was Crimea had an autonomous government, even an autonomous status. In the constitution of Ukraine recognized that. I mean, it's an autonomous republic inside Ukraine. And the parliament just simply decided to, just simply, we don't want to be any more part of you. They organized a referendum, and the people massively voted for that. Later, they asked to join, it's true, the Russian Federation. Let's say that there is an international law. The people are speaking about international law. Well, the international law, there is an international court of justice. The international court of justice in the Haye, in La Haye, in Netherlands, is the institution that say what is legal or illegal according to the international law. If Poroshenko say that he loves very much Crimea, he loves very much. You know, he say, no, Crimea is Ukrainian. We love Crimea. Guy, why you don't go to the International Court of Justice? Why you don't put a demand? why you even you didn't initiate the process there? I mean, you know, he didn't do that because he was advised by United States and also European Union not to go to this court because they feel that it can be a sentence was against that, against the interests of Poroshenko. Simply because there are precedents, similar precedents on that. There are very similar situations, similar than Crimea, like for instance in Kosovo.
Kosovo.
Yeah? In Kosovo, and there is a sentence even. It was a sentence that say that this separation of Kosovo that it was good. It was well, the right the in the international law there is not the territorial integrity is not something absolute. It's not something that is the borders can be changed according to international law, and then there is even legislation about that, a lot of precedent, a lot of well, I am an expert, but I studied international law myself. I mean in the past when I was studying law, no, I don't consider an expert on the issue, but I read something about that, no, and the International Court of Justice is the only institution that is able to do that. The problem is that it is needed a demand. I mean, that the Ukrainian government has to go to the court and asking it's a trial. There is a kind of, in Kosovo happens something similar. Well, yeah, simply they don't want to go there because they think that the International Court of Justice can imagine a sentence of the International Court of Justice that say that the adhesion of Crimea to Russia is okay. Imagine that. It will be a disaster for the narrative promoted by the Western media.
Right.
It will be a disaster. Imagine all this narrative, all this propaganda. Everybody say that it was occupied, that the troops are there. You know, why you don't go to the International Court of Justice? And the Russians say the same. The Russians say, you don't agree, go to the International Court of Justice. Let's go. Let's go. This is a trial. There is a process. There is a. I mean, the international law means. The people say they speak about international law, but they don't know what they speak about because international law means that there is an international law and also an institution that is taking care about that. And this institution is very old institution, very respected. That it's not the International Criminal Court. This is other thing. This is other thing. I speak about International Court of Justice that is so old that it was created in the former. Before the United Nations, that was the Nation Sociedad de Naciones, Nation Society,
League of Nations.
After the First World War was created, I mean, it's a very even it's older. I think there is other. It's an institution that is very old, and they have a lot of. Well, they are the institution that say what they are analyzing different even political process. They can say, well, this is illegal according to the international law. This is not illegal. Yes, and then the international, the that are very interesting. I want to tell you an example, very interesting example that you can find in the Wikipedia or everywhere. That is like, for instance, the annexation, because it was an annexation of the area of Klaipeda by the first Lithuanian Republic. The Lithuanian state was born in the modern Lithuanian state, the Republic of Lithuania, was born in 1918, just because as a consequence of the Bolshevik Revolution. It was a revolution in the former Soviet Empire, and then some part of the territory just break apart because this part of the Baltic state were invaded by the Germans, actually, by the German, the Kaiser. And then, well, they are a puppet regimes, puppet representative of the, but they were not independent. They were Russian territory occupied by Germans, and they declared the independence of Estonia, Latvia, and also, Estonia. Well, the thing is that the Kaiser lost the war. He had to flee, and Lithuania still was there, I mean, as a state. Okay. Well, the Lithuanians, look, they were not really, they didn't like very much. They have also, they are expansionists themselves. And then they decide to occupy, and they occupy the area of the sea, close to the sea. And there is the, it's called Klaipeda nowadays, but in that time it was called Memel. And Memel is the second capital of Prussia. It was the former Prussia. Well, the thing is that they occupied. They sent in the same. They occupied without a referendum. I mean, and the people that were living there, they were not even Lithuanians. They were speaking German, a kind of German. You know, they sent the troops. They took this territory, and it was illegal. It was illegal according to the international law in that moment. But after many years, it was declared. It's fait consumé. It's like how to say it? It's a something that has been done, and what does it? It's something that they're using this French jargon, no, the International Court of Justice, but means that it's a fact that has been done. Right. And then, well, this occupation of Klaipeda by Lithuanian troops later was recognized. That's it, because after many years, well, it was recognized by the different countries, and also the thing is that the frontiers are changing. Frontiers change, the borders are something that are changing. It's not the integrity of the territories. It's something relative in international law. The thing is that in Ukraine happened the same. I mean, but well, not only the same. Actually, here it was a not an occupation, because actually it was the Crimean Parliament that declared the process. No? They opened this process of independence, and later they asked it to the adhesion to Russia. No? The fascinating thing is that the people are speaking about international law. They don't know what they are speaking about, because even they don't know even that this institution exists, the International Court of Justice, and why nobody goes there. Why Poroshenko, the government of Ukraine right now, don't go to the International Court of Justice? Because they don't want, they are not sure. Because they fear that, because if they had a sentence that says, sorry, this is not illegal. So the narrative promoted by the Western media will collapse. You understand me? Right. They are promoting this narrative that, and what is the sense? I mean, it does not make sense, no? I don't think that the Russians are going to give back Crimea, because they have also their interest there. I mean, historically, Russia has been always there. They are very interested in this peninsula, because for several reasons. Also, for them, it's good for controlling the Black Sea. This peninsula is has been for centuries part of the Russian people, no? The Russian let's say it was if we want to analyze the history of Crimea, well, people are speaking about the Tartars and so on, but the Tartars were not even the native people. I mean, in Crimea, because in Crimea before the Tartars were the Greeks. People don't know that, but before the Tartars arrived there, Tartars are like a Turks. They arrived there and they kick out the Greeks. The Greeks were forced to move there, from there. And then many of the Greeks went here to Mariupol. Mariupol is a city founded by Greeks that were coming from Crimea because they were kicked out from, I mean, they were forced to move. Because the Tartars were Turkish, were very people that took Crimea, and later the Catherine the Great, the emperor, the Tsarin of Catherine the Great, just simply in the war, it was a war there, they just simply kick out the Turks there, no, from Crimea. And that's it. And later, since then, there has been always Russian's territory. Till Nikita Khrushchev came, the president of, well, the leader of the Soviet Union, that he was studying here in Donetsk. And people have to remember that Nikita Khrushchev was studying here in engineering, in where? In the university where I am teaching.
Right.
It's amazing, because there is even a picture of Nikita Khrushchev. Because the other day I was in the museum, this university have a huge, very interesting museum, I have to say, with a picture of important people. And one of them is Nikita Khrushchev. Nikita Khrushchev was studying Indonesia National Technical University, here, the university that I am teaching. Right? Nikita Khrushchev took the power. He was elected the leader of the Communist Party in the former Soviet Union, thanks to the support of the Ukrainian communists and the people of Donetsk. I mean, the communists from Donetsk. No? And then he was very, well, he feel like, as a present, I will give Ukraine, the Soviet Ukraine, he decided to give this present, this gift that was Crimea. So he integrated Crimea into Soviet Ukraine. In that moment, Ukraine and Russia were all part of the Soviet Union, like all the other republics. And then, he was not thinking anything about that. But simply, this part is a kind of administrative chain. Now it's not anymore integrated into Russia, into Soviet Russia, but into Soviet Ukraine. No? It was a present that was given by Nikita Khrushchev because he wanted to show kind of brotherhood, no? Brotherhood, and because the Ukrainian communists helped him to become the leader of the Soviet Union. Brezhnev was also Ukrainian. It's the leader of the Soviet Union. Brezhnev was an Ukrainian that was leader, no? of the Soviet Union. And also he did many good things also for Ukraine. I mean, because you go to Kiev, and well, all the huge monuments they created there, the huge spaces and buildings. I mean, he also helped. Somehow was of course, because you are somehow helping your city, the city you are coming from. The same happened here, in Donetsk. Yanukovych helped a lot of the city in developing. He just simply built this airport, the most modern airport of Eastern Europe, here, close to where I am living. And the airport was destroyed by the war. No? There is not any benefit of this war. I mean, I want to tell you that everything has been a product of geopolitical interest. The Ukrainian conflict is a product of that. People here hope, no, that what do you think about Donald Trump? I have been speaking with students. Well, some students think that he is going to be good for them. The television also. I mean, the state television, because, well, the Republic have a state television, usually appear Trump. They are somehow still hoping, no, that Trump is going to be good for them. Of course, for them, Trump is much better than Obama, because Obama destroyed the country, you know. They have a hope, and here even my boss, I am working also in the international department of the university. He's a fan, no? He's a fan of Trump, no? Well, so I am not a fan of Trump. I want to tell you, I don't consider myself a fan of Trump or anything like this. But I think there was not. It was another option. Hillary Clinton represent the worst thing, the worst of the neocons. It's like a Satan. Or even worse, even if I had to choose between Hillary Clinton and Satan, I would vote for Satan. I always say that because it's true.
Right.
Satan is more reliable. No? Here, people feel they have some hope, no? that things are becoming better. These people have been bombed for 3 years. This city, not only the city, all this area has been really victims of the decisions taken somewhere out of Ukraine, right. Because the Maidan Revolution is clear that it's a proxy war. It was funded and organized from the United States and also some puppet states that are in Eastern Europe, where the involvement of Lithuania, of Poland, especially Poland and Lithuania in the Maidan events. Were very important.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.